Hi, Rob B here with Rob D, and you are listening to the Property Podcast. Now, this week we're going behind the scenes. We're speaking to the people on the front line of property, those who are dealing with this weird world that we're in right now. We're going to be speaking to a deal sourcer, a letting agent, and an investment advisor. And you're going to get from them exactly what's happening in their world right now, so you're better informed.
Welcome to the Property Podcast, where every Thursday, property investors come to be informed and inspired. And let's be honest, we need a lot of both of those right now. We are in a fortunate position, though, that we do have access to people who are dealing with property investors at scale. So if you're looking at what's happening in your own portfolio or your own market, and wondering if it's normal, or you've encountered a situation and you want to know what other investors are doing, well, we've been talking to our team and we should be in a position to help in this episode. And make sure you stick around to the end, because in Hub Extra, we've got the perfect service to help take your mind off things a bit.
So a couple of news stories for you now. And amazingly, we've got two positive news stories from property investors. I know, bonkers, right? You wouldn't think we could find one, but we found you two. So the first one is about mortgage holidays for buy-to-let investors, but specifically those who invest through limited companies.
Yeah, so the story that we found is from Mortgage Strategy, and it's confirming that mortgage holidays can be claimed not just by investors who have bought as individuals, but also those who've bought through limited companies. That's actually always been the case. The policy's never been any different, but there were lots of rumours swirling around and misinformation that limited companies would not be eligible. And we've had at least a couple of investors getting in touch saying that they've heard that it doesn't apply to them. So very much worth highlighting this story to say that if you do need a mortgage holiday, it is available if you invest through a company, so you can speak to your lender about that. And as we've said every time when we've talked about this, do speak to your lender, don't just stop paying. The second bit of good news is around the length of mortgage offers. So at the moment, there are some people who have exchanged on a property but are not going to be able to complete for logistical reasons because of all the restrictions that are in place. And this could have caused big problems for someone who's coming towards the end of their mortgage offer and was risking it expiring before they were able to complete and not even knowing when they'd be able to complete. Well, all lenders have got together and they've agreed to extend mortgage offers by 3 months. So if you are in that position where you've exchanged but you don't know when you'll be able to complete, you've now got another 3 months. And presumably, if things do drag on even longer, which we very much hope they won't, that will be extended again because lenders don't want all these purchases falling through. So as you said, Rob, not a lot of good news around at the moment, but we managed to find some.
Just before we get into the main section of the podcast, a little heads up. At the moment, people have got a bit of downtime. You know what? If you want to switch off during that period, if the best you can, then fair play. But for a lot of people, they will want to better themselves and actually think, you know what? I want to become a stronger property investor when this is all done. I want to be in a better position. And one of the things you could be doing is topping up on your knowledge. So it's just a reminder that the Property Hub has got you covered. There's loads and loads and loads of content on there, including a load of free courses that you can take advantage of. All of this stuff is free, including the YouTube channel. So go in, have a deep dive. There's lots that you can be taking advantage of. Go to the section that says free education and enjoy. There's no catches, just loads and loads of content that we've put out. And it's not free now. We're not doing a special offer because of the coronavirus. It always has been and always will be.
If you've been listening to the Property Podcast for a while, you'll know this already, but a surprising number of people don't. We have got more going on than just a podcast. You've got all the educational stuff, so we've got the website, the magazine, the YouTube channel, all the social stuff. But we've also got some businesses behind the scenes as well, which we tend not to talk about too much on the podcast, but they are there and they're quite substantial in size. We help investors build portfolios and give them investment advice. We do lettings and management. We do tax and accountancy. So we're covering a lot of ground. And as a result, we've got people within our team who've got insights into all different parts of the property industry.
So with everything that's going on with the coronavirus, the property market is all over the place and people are trying to make sense of it. So we thought it's a great opportunity for you to hear about what's going on behind the scenes. Not necessarily our business, but actually what's happening in the industry. So today we're going to hear from someone in lettings, we're going to hear from a deal sourcer and an investment advisor. And first up, we've got Jess, who heads up our lettings business.
My title is Lettings Operations Manager. I head up the lettings and property management team here at the Property Hub.
Before coronavirus hit, I'm sure you weren't exactly sitting around twiddling your thumbs. It was always a really busy team and lots going on. But what was life like back then, if you can remember back then before coronavirus as a part of our lives?
Yeah, really busy. Obviously, the Letts department is quite a dynamic department in that we're very reactive off current market situations and legislational changes. So no day is the same, and we're continuously adapting our processes in line with legislational changes anyway. And that has obviously changed massively since coronavirus and adapting in line with that.
You're pretty busy anyway. The world went mad. Then what's it like now? What's the last couple of weeks been like?
Yeah, it's been really tough. I guess I spend a lot of my evenings following the government announcements, making sure that we're changing the processes daily in line with the legislations that are changing. There's been quite a lot of emergency legislations that have been put in place to support tenants and landlords throughout these really unprecedented times. And from that, we've had to adapt so many of our internal policies to make sure that we're following guidelines and keeping safe our tenants, clients, contractors, and people that we're engaging contact with on a daily basis.
The day-to-day must have changed pretty fundamentally, because you can't actually show properties, right? Which is kind of a major part of what you do.
Yeah. So on the 23rd, when the announcement was hit that obviously travel would be significantly reduced and we could only travel for work in completely essential situations. So we immediately stopped our viewings. We did foresee that it was going to come, and we were quite proactive in that, and we'd managed to take a lot of videos of vacant properties that we currently have to try and keep things ticking over. But alongside that, Arla and a number of the property organisations had dictated that we could continue with current move-ins and checkouts, but we had to completely adapt our processes, so we had a zero contact policy. I've been doing a lot of risk assessments daily to make sure that the staff are all completely safe, that are out doing any kind of interactions with people, and also that protects tenants that are in properties as well. But ultimately, as long as we follow the zero contact policy, then we should be fine from that angle.
What kind of conversations are you and your team having with landlords? Because this is a lot for them to take on as well.
Yeah, I think we have been hit by a lot of questions, because for everyone, it's very uncertain times. So a lot of the clients obviously come to us to look for reassurance that we're managing things effectively and that the tenants are okay in the properties. A lot of people have been concerned, you know, they're concerned about the tenants that are in situ, that they're under a lot of pressure, they may have or may not have lost the jobs. We've been having a lot of questions surrounding that. And then the key questions surrounding all the legislational changes and how that affects, because a lot of people have, you know, been concerned about the fact that obviously you can't evict people for 3 months whilst this is going on. And that obviously will affect them if the tenants stop paying rent. But it's just, as always, the key to success is communication. And we're finding if we communicate really well with the tenants and we're communicating back with the landlords, that we're trying to keep all parties as calm and as happy as possible whilst giving them all the updates that they need in line with kind of government guidelines and legislational changes.
What about on the tenant side? Have you had many tenants proactively getting in touch, either to say that they're worried or they need help or just to find out what's going on?
The biggest hit to us have been the pipeline of new applications that we had going through. So we obviously have a pipeline of properties that have either finished the referencing process and are set to move in, or there's people that are in that process that have only newly or recently taken a property. A lot of those lets have fallen through for obvious reasons. Because it's such uncertain times, people are obviously revoking the notices where they currently are and staying put for the time being, or if they were moving out of family homes or moving in with partners, they decided to stay put because of the uncertainty around so many people's jobs and how this is going to affect, I guess, the economy as a whole. People are very nervous, and the last thing they need is the pressure of moving house at this time. So we have found that it hit hard in that section of the business. And then separate to that, we've had a lot of conversations, and the team have fed back when we have our morning calls. They fed back a lot of conversations we've had of tenants in difficult situations, and they're predominantly people that have worked in hospitality or on 0 hours contracts or worked at airports. You know, areas like that have been hit the hardest, and we do have a lot of tenants that work in those sectors that have contacted us to advise that unfortunately they've either been let go or that, you know, there's no work there for them if they're on 0 hours contracts. So yeah, difficult times for tenants that are struggling with that side of things.
I don't know if it's the same from what you're seeing, but from the emails I've got, it seems like for the most part, landlords have been pretty understanding about the situation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's hard for them not to be, because that is why that emergency legislation was put in place. There's very little they can do. And kind of our process to them is, whilst I understand this puts landlords under pressure, the government have tried to counteract that with giving landlords breaks in their mortgages, which takes the pressure off them. If the tenants don't pay them and they don't have to pay the mortgage, mortgage, then it makes it easier for all parties involved. Our key thing to this now is that if we're as accommodation and supportive as possible as we can be to both the client and the tenant, that the relationship when we get out of this will hopefully improve going forward. All tenants where landlords have been really forthcoming with help and support, they've been so thankful for that. And that will only benefit the relationship going forward. And hopefully these tenants will appreciate what's been done at these very difficult times and therefore, you know, stay in the property that they're in, and a longer tenants will be created off the back of that.
I know it's really early days and maybe a bit early to say, but do you see any long-term effects as a result of what's happening now in the letting sector?
Not in the letting sector, because properties always, people always are going to rent out. I think for us, a big push that I've been making sure the team will do is, whilst this third month is probably going to be really chaotic because we're changing so many processes and we're all adapting to how the situation is changing daily, after that I think it's going to be a really key time for the team to make sure that they're communicating with the tenants more regularly and the landlords more regularly, and from that hopefully we can build relationships that are stronger going forward. It's also give us a chance to really look at our processes and strip them back down to the basics, and in some cases we've had to rewrite them completely, and from that it gives a fresh start to things, and hopefully that will mean that going forward it will improve the services. So I think for us it's been a really good chance to sit back and analyse where we're up to with the community and processes and make sure that they're spot on going forward.
So do you have any advice to anyone listening who's maybe doesn't have a letting agent, maybe is self-managing a property or two, based on what you've seen and the conversations you're having? What advice would you give them about how to manage the situation?
I think obviously make sure that they're touching base with the tenants. If they're self-managing, I think at this time, through any relationships you have, whether they be professional or friends or however it is with employees, I think the key to it is to reach out to people and make sure they're okay. I think that will be massively valued by any tenants that are in situ. If your landlord reached out to you and just acknowledges that he appreciates difficult times and there's anything that they can do, don't hesitate to pick up the phone. If the tenant is to then fall into financial difficulty, you'd like to think that the first thing they're going to do, because they know you're already understanding, is pick up the phone and say, look, I can't pay my rent off £500 this month, however, would you accept a contribution of £200? And at least then you've got something. But the last thing you want is the tenant, you know, going under the radar, not communicating with you, and not being clear where they're up to. Because as we're all aware, the emergency legislation that's been put in place confirms that we can't do anything with these tenants that are in situ anyway. So the key to me is to keep that communication strong throughout these difficult times and make sure the tenant knows that you're in this to work together. And if you are like that and you do keep communicating with the tenant, then hopefully a resolution will be for both parties, that when you come out of this, you'll one, have a better relationship, and obviously the tenant will be able to upkeep any rental payments that are owing in line with what any mortgage breaks that the client's obviously got.
Next, we're going to hear from our deal sourcing guru, who's also called Rob.
I would say there's three key parts to my role: business development, forging and maintaining relationships with developers. I'm a property detective. I conduct the DD on all our deals. And deal management, so negotiation of the deals, and I manage current, forthcoming and previous historic deals.
So what was life like before the coronavirus hit? Can you remember that?
The market was strong. It was really gaining momentum especially after Brexit certainty. And my life was a little harder because it's great for investors and first-time buyers. But because the market is so strong, doing deals was quite difficult and we weren't getting as many through the door as we wanted. Probably because developers and the growing market, they were unrealistic on the price point and we're fussy. So we didn't just want to take any old deal.
So what's it like now? A lot's changed, right?
Probably a month ago, getting developers on the phone and replying to emails and getting the doors open for developers we didn't currently work with was a struggle because, as I said, the market was strong. They didn't need to do deals with the likes of us. They had a strong first-time buyer market and people coming through the door. However, literally, people are not coming through the door. Nobody is. And so it's a big opportunity. And now the phone is being answered and I'm getting replies to my emails. It's early, early days, but there's some really interesting opportunities happening and coming to us right now. And I think when developers have truly felt the pressure in a few weeks' time of sales and build, I think we're going to experience a flurry of great deals.
So how are you adapting? What are you doing differently right now?
For us as a department to assist developers in the right time, in what is going to be a really challenging few weeks and few months ahead. So in my role, it's key that we take advantage of that. And what I'm seeing is developers are responding to us and are wanting to listen to us in respect of doing deals for our investors. Getting their foot in the door is fundamental to our role as a department, and that's what I'm doing now every day, is making sure we have that coverage across all our key locations.
So it sounds from your point of view that there's a silver lining here.
I think there's a big opportunity to forge stronger relationships and create relationships that we don't already have. New relationships is the biggest positive effect that's going to happen for us as a department and us as a business, because there isn't a developer out there that isn't going to feel the pressure and the pain, because everyone is in the same boat.
And do you have any advice for property investors and what they can be doing right now?
I would say don't have short-term vision, have the long-term focus, because we all know that this is only going to be temporary. In general, for the investors, there's massive opportunity to negotiate here. So go big, be bold in your negotiation of whatever that is. And I think complacency is a massive thing. To not be complacent during this period, don't take your eye off the ball. Have awareness, constant awareness. Don't put your feet up. Everyone's at home. Everyone's got up time to do this. Monitor your target locations and whatever properties are within your goals. Look for them opportunities and keep talking to your network. Just because you're indoors doesn't mean you still can't network. Have that awareness of what's going on. And on that note, take advice from wisdom in the sector. You know, there's plenty of it. Ignore the media, focus on the wisdom. So, for example, Ray Dalio, his LinkedIn page is brilliant. His website, his principal's website, is brilliant. He posts virtually daily observations on what his thoughts are on the movement in the market and economy. So the likes of them, keep reading and keep your education going while we've all got the opportunity to do so.
And finally, we're going to hear from Chloe, who heads up our investment team.
The aim of the team is to have a first touch point with the clients, to establish what their goals are, what their investing aspirations are, and to then work out how we can help them with the processes that we have in terms of the way that we work with developers and how we can support them in their property journey.
What was the mood like before the virus came out of nowhere and caused the chaos it has? What kind of vibe were you getting from investors and from the team?
So I think we had gone through a long conversation around Brexit with a number of our clients. Generally, we'd started to see that people were really gearing up to making the most of investment opportunities. In terms of the 18-year property cycle, we recognised that we were probably in a bit of a mid-cycle dip, and lots of people were ready to take advantage of new investment opportunities. So we had a pretty upbeat kind of vibe going on in the office in terms of people were ready to invest, they were keen to learn more, and we were setting them up that sort of part of the 18-year property cycle.
What kind of conversations are you and your team having with investors now?
There's obviously quite a lot of concern around what will it mean in terms of completions and when will we be able to get tenants to be able to view the properties and see the properties. How long do I need to anticipate to have voids after completions? And I think that's a really big challenge for our clients at the moment, is their concerns are not so much about recognising the fact that it's a good time to invest. It's more about how will the immediate impact affect them in terms of the properties becoming available for lettings. Because especially at the beginning of an investor's journey, when you don't have perhaps a cash reserve built up from previous year's rental income to cover voids, they're sort of finding that quite a challenge at the moment. And of course, the market is changing all the time, with the market focus around sort of mortgage offers and the lender's approach to having to transition to home working. And we're seeing that as quite a challenge at the moment.
Are there any differences between maybe investors who are newer and just speaking to us for the first time versus those who've been investing for a while?
I think it really depends on how long they've been listening to the podcast and how really new they are to investing. So some people have been about it and spending the last few weeks and months educating themselves, and so actually if they're really ready to invest, they are coming to us and they are keen to invest. We've got a large proportion of experienced investors who recognise the opportunities, but perhaps are in the process of hoping to refinance properties at the moment. So whilst the funds aren't immediately available, they're sort of getting themselves ready to take advantage. And then we've got a number of people who have listened to the podcast for a long time. When we talk to them, we've had strategy meetings or even review meetings with them. They've talked very much about the principles of taking advantage of opportunities as and when they arise. And yet a little bit like when we first had a lot of uncertainty around Brexit, they're now saying, oh, but I want to wait and see. And that's the difference, is the investors that really do want to take advantage of the opportunities and those that are just feeling a little bit nervous at the moment.
How is your team adapting what they do, apart from the obvious of doing it from home now?
Again, we're having a daily update so that we can review anything that's been reported on in terms of government updates. And we are also in close contact with our care team so that we are getting regular updates in terms of the lenders' view of the world at the moment. So, you know, that's changing on a daily basis. It's very important for us, for the investors that are currently going through the process, that we can support them and make sure that we're giving them the best information that we have at a particular point in time, recognizing that that will change quite regularly. So we are working very closely as a team in perhaps a slightly different way, in that we're having to focus a lot more on communicating on a regular basis on updates that in the past might not have happened, you know, hour by hour, day by day. It would have been a weekly update. So the change really has been about focusing very much on information that we can share and we can use and help our clients with at any particular point in time.
As things are at the moment, do you see any long-term changes as a result of everything that's happening?
I mean, the mortgage market is a fascinating market at the best of times. Responding to interest rates and the way that clients are being dealt with. The surveyors, it'll be interesting to see whether they're prepared to change some of their policies. One of the challenges we've got at the moment is that desktop valuations are rarely done if there's, you know, anything over and above a 60% loan to value. So whether that might change in the short term, it would be interesting and useful. If it could change in the long term, again, that might improve some of the ways that we can speed up the efficiency in some of the processes. It'll be very much a conversation to be had with some of our third-party suppliers and the people that we work with to see if there are efficiencies to be had in the long term.
So you're speaking to investors who are all over the place in terms of their experience and where they are now and their attitude to all this kind of thing. Do you have any advice based on that for people who are listening to the podcast now?
The podcast at the moment is incredibly useful, especially the new Friday afternoon market update, in the sense that it gives a very balanced view of how to remain calm, how to make sure that you're looking for the right information in the right places and not just reacting to the media headline that shouts the loudest. And I think from our perspective, we're having to communicate in a very different way to establish the facts rather than just what we're seeing out there on social media or in terms of general headlines. And I think from that perspective, I would say to investors, do talk to us, call in. We're finding out new information all the time. That's what we're here for. And it's a great opportunity for us to be able to share that with you. And if we do have new information, you know, we're again sharing that with the team. You know, we're also highlighting the questions and the queries that we most often have to you and Rob, so that we can then think about how we can, you know, share that information across on the podcast in a different way as well. So I think the more people, if they find they have the time and they're interested, then we'd love to talk to them because we can share a lot of information. And also we can learn from them as well in terms of what their concerns are and where they think we can help them.
So Rob, three different parts of the industry, but it reveals so much about what's happening. I mean, who lets? Like, every day it's changing.
Yeah, you can tell that Jess is working flat out just to keep on top of everything that's going on and trying to pass that information on to both landlords and tenants. She made the point about communication, which is where so many in lettings fall down. But right now, it's clearly more important than ever because there's such a need for information. There's so much misinformation out there and it's all changing so fast. So it's been quite a couple of weeks for the lettings team and the sourcing team haven't exactly been slacking either.
No, they've had to change. Their world is very different. But not necessarily for the worst. Like, a lot of people in this situation aren't going to be in a great place, but the sourcing team are probably in a better place now than they were a month ago, which is weird to say because you'd be forgiven for thinking that it's all downside at the moment for everyone in the world, but it's not. You know, while some people are unfortunately suffering, there are parts of businesses or whole businesses that are doing well, and the sourcing team can take advantage of this, and that's what Rob is definitely doing with the rest of the team there.
And as we heard from Chloe on the investment side, so much going on there as well, again around things changing and the need for information. So Property Hub Invest provides advice, it then presents investment opportunities, but then the thing that often gets forgotten, I think, is actually working with the clients to get the properties through to completion, and mortgages are obviously a big part of that. We've talked about mortgages on the last couple of Ask Rob and Robs. We've talked about it on our market update. We talk about it all the time because they're so important for investors and it's in such a state of flux right now. So they've got quite a job on their hands. And I thought it was interesting as well to hear about the different attitudes that investors have got, because clearly there is one reality, but there's lots of different ways you can respond to it.
Yeah, so as you can hear, there's a lot changing and a lot of adapting need to be done, not just for our team, but this is goes for everyone in property, whether you're an investor or working with people who work in the industry. You know, it's understandable right now if your solicitor or mortgage broker is a little slower than they normally are. I'm sure most people are forgiven of that as well. What's interesting and a key theme here, and we didn't tell them to say this is from them, is that how important it is to keep yourself informed or educated. There's so much happening right now that it means that if you aren't informed or aren't educated, you could do yourself a bit of damage. But also on the flip side, you can actually do well. This scenario puts us on an equal footing. We all have to deal with this virus in our own way. But it doesn't mean that we all have to be punished from it. A lot of us will be, unfortunately. But as property investors, and if we just focus as property investors, then actually it's not necessarily all downside. There is opportunity here. And by keeping yourself educated with your finger on the pulse and understand what's happening, you can do that. Of course, we've got you covered. We're podcasting 3 times a week, so we will keep you educated. We will keep you informed. And if you are speaking to other people who are involved in property, then you know, pass it on. Let them know about what we're doing so we can help them too.
Just time before we wrap up for Hub Extra. It's that part of the show where we give you a little bit more, a tool, a resource, an idea, something to make your life better. And it's backed up by the Hub Extra email that will hit your inbox every Friday morning if you're a Property Hub member, which of course you are, aren't you? This week, Rob, you've been doing something to keep the whole family entertained.
Yeah, I've signed up to Disney Plus. What is it? Well, it's like a Netflix for Disney. Now, that's really underselling it because you kind of think, well, Netflix is great. It's Disney's version. It won't be quite as good. And it's difficult to say which is best because Netflix is so brilliant. But so is Disney Plus. It's got all the back catalogue. It's got all the series. It's got loads of films that you didn't even think Disney made. I certainly didn't. I forgot about them. Loads of good stuff in there. But it's also got lots of new, unique content. You have to remember that Disney Plus isn't just Disney. It's National Geographic. It's Marvel. It's Star Wars. And it's Disney. So there's loads in there. It's incredible value. It's about £50 a year. And let's face it, at the moment, we're not getting out and about as much as we used to. And there's a lot of negativity in the world. So if you're going to be stuck in and you want a bit of positivity, you can't do much better than Disney. So I've signed up. I'm enjoying it. And a little extra Hub Extra tip for you this week. If you're thinking, well, how can I pay for it? One way of doing it is by pausing your Sky Sports if you subscribe. Sky Sports are letting you pause. So even if you're locked in and you've committed to a length of time for subscribing, like I have, you can pause it and they won't charge you while the coronavirus is going on because there's not much sport going on. I also then thought on to cancel my LFC TV. Yes, I do subscribe, or at least I did, and that saved me another £7 a month. So I'm on the up, actually. I've saved myself more than Disney Plus has cost me. So not only have I got a brand new service, but I've saved myself a few quid as well. So check with your TV provider, see if there's any services you can pause or even cancel, save yourself a few quid, and then to uplift yourself a little bit further, check out Disney Plus.
So that is us done for today, but you don't have to wait long for your next property podcast fix, because we're going to be back tomorrow with our new Friday Market Update podcast. And then, of course, next week, 3 more podcasts for you to enjoy as well. In the meantime, like Rob mentioned earlier, there's so much free content for you to enjoy at propertyhub.net. Check out the free courses there in particular. So we'll see you again very soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.